Good morning and welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. It is the 6th of June, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, along with Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news today, all brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. In the news, a family-owned egg producer in northern Indiana is celebrating 100 years. We'll hear more about that. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has a mostly dry Indiana farm forecast, but some rain chances, and the weekend weather looks pretty good. Corn and soybean and wheat markets made it two in a row for gains in Thursday trade yesterday. We'll have Carl Setzer market analysis coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
As a farmer, you plant millions of seeds every spring. You know that tomorrow's harvest depends on today's hard work, knowledge, and care. At First Farmers, we recognize that today's seed is tomorrow's success in both farming and finance. If you're looking for a bank that has been committed to agriculture for over 135 years and has the experience to prove it, let's talk. Learn more at ffbt.com or stop by your local branch. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Considering a career in agriculture, Michigan State University's Institute of Agricultural Technology offers in-state tuition rates for students from Indiana and beyond. With programs like Ag Operations, Forest Technology, and Food Processing, MSU IAT prepares career-ready graduates in 2 years. Our certificate programs are designed to launch your students' future in agriculture. Take the first step at iat.msu.edu.
Creighton Brothers celebrating 100 years and bridging the digital divide. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today.
Wishing all our farmers a safe and successful planting season. I'm Danielle Aldrich, your ag lender at Beacon Credit Union, committed to growing with you every step of the way.
Creighton Brothers, an egg production company based near the small town of Atwood in Kosciuszko County, is having a year-long celebration of their founding back in 1925. CJ Miller has the story.
Mindy Truex is president of Creighton Brothers, which was founded by her grandfather, Hobart Creighton, and her great-uncle, Russell Creighton. She says the two brothers had very different personalities.
That's what made for a great partnership. Russell was very good at staying around on the farm and taking care of things, and my grandpa was very much a visionary and someone who, I guess back in the day, they would have called him a natural-born salesman, maybe. And he was kind of more the face and the person that went out and helped find markets and meeting with people at shows.
Mindy says the company today is still very much a family-owned business in the truest sense of the term.
It's kind of a crazy part to have to manage on the side. We have about 180 some now owners. Almost all of those are family members and even wives and husbands of family members. So managing the family and all the activity for them is about a full-time job in its own. So I think we're fairly unique, to say the least, from that standpoint.
Mindy adds that she's proud to lead Creighton Brothers and continue her grandfather's legacy.
I always kind of wonder sometimes. My grandpa died in 1976, so I didn't get to know him in his more active time and different things. I was still fairly young when he passed away. And so I've always wondered, if he could come back today, what would he think of what we did? And it's been very conservative growth, but we're happy with what we've created. My grandpa and his brother would be proud of us too.
Read the full story of Creighton Brothers and their 100-year celebration as a family-owned business. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
We knew that the urban-rural divide on internet services was a wide one, and COVID exposed that in an even bigger way. But are we moving in the right direction now?
We've made a lot of progress since then, both with federal, state money, and private capital as well.
That's Jeff Johnston, lead economist for digital infrastructure at CoBank, who says we're moving in the right direction, but we're not where we need to be quite yet.
There is $42.5 billion, actually, that was earmarked out of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, and specifically it's the BEAD program within that piece of legislation. And that's really exciting because that's an unprecedented amount of capital, a precedent amount of money that the government has set aside to support building out rural broadband networks to get those who are not connected connected.
The program hasn't made as much progress as was first hoped, but he's anticipating more progress to come in the months ahead. Johnston says rural electric cooperatives are the unsung heroes, doing a lot of work to close the divide.
In terms of the work that they've done building fiber to the home networks for their members who don't have any connectivity, and they continue to do that. So kudos to them. They're playing a critical role in bridging the digital divide in rural America, as are rural telephone cooperatives and privately owned and managed rural telecom operators as well. So it's kind of a multi-pronged approach.
Johnston says future 6G wireless development will be incredibly helpful for farmers to ramp up precision agriculture. As for the money in the BEAD program, it'll be interesting to see how that money gets doled out. He says hopefully it addresses what he believes is one of the biggest challenges to rural broadband deployment, copper wiring in rural areas. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Finishing out the week here with a mostly dry Indiana forecast. However, if you are down in the southern part of the state, you're probably going to be dealing with a few more clouds and some lingering scattered showers as another little wave of that front that came through a couple of days ago is still trying to park here. So watch for some scattered showers at mostly far southern Indiana. I think the clouds from this can probably stretch up to about I-70. Northern Indiana should turn out partly sunny over the longer haul. The weekend looks pretty good right now. I think your Saturday forecast is going to be fully dry with sunshine everywhere. Sunday's a little interesting. I do think that we see clouds trying to come in with a minor disturbance coming through. Do we see big moisture everywhere? No. But do I have to allow for 60% coverage of a few scattered showers on Sunday? Yes, particularly as we get into the mid and late afternoon and then the overnight time frame going into Monday. The moisture I don't think is huge. If you need more, it's going to be a nice little drink. Is it going to be something that causes long-term problems? I don't think so. This instability hangs around probably through Monday night. By Tuesday, we turn out partly sunny everywhere, and we stay partly to mostly sunny for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The weekend is going to be interesting, but I think the big part of this upcoming week is going to be sunny, warm, and dry. We have instability coming through for Saturday the 14th and Sunday the 15th. Hit and miss, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Not really sweeping through, not with any front. It seems to me like we're getting an early start at some heat-based instability. But what's interesting about that, I don't think we're that hot toward the end of next week. So I'm waiting to kind of sort through this data. I am seeing a massive heat dome come across the central United States toward the middle of the week of the 16th. And you know what? Once that thing parks in here, absolutely. There you go. There's your heat-based thunderstorms. I think the models are a little bit confused at how to handle certain waves of moisture ahead of that heat dome building in. So I don't have a lot of confidence in moisture for the end of next week, so the 14th, 15th, and then into Monday the 16th. I don't have confidence that it comes together and is a big event just yet. I see this going away, coming back, kind of a lot of instability in the actual confidence here until we get to probably the middle part of next week. So that's my look right now farther out. There is some moisture being shown. I just don't think it comes. The pattern's not quite right to get that to come in here ahead of massive heat. So, but that's what you've got headed towards you toward the second half of the month. Finally getting some heat. I've heard a lot of farmers comment, hey, we need some heat units for this crop, that crop. Well, boy, howdy, you asked, it's going to happen. The second part of the month getting quite warm. We're going to see it first in the plains, so pay attention out there. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Planting season is here, and Beacon Credit Union is proud to stand beside the farmers who make it all happen. We're here to help with flexible lines of credit, equipment financing, and real estate loans built for your operation. At Beacon, it's ag people serving ag people, committed to your success in every season. Start at beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Attention construction pros. Purple Wave Auction brings quality equipment to your fingertips. Join our bi-weekly online auctions featuring dozers, excavators, loaders, and more. We provide detailed listings, photos, and seller contact info. Inspect online or in person. With our no reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com today and see why informed builders choose Purple Wave. Transparent processes, real deals, your next great purchase awaits. purplewave.com.
Strengthening in the corn, soybean, and wheat markets after a choppy start to the day. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. The markets are powered by Purple Wave Auction. Purple Wave makes buying and selling used ag equipment easy. For more information, visit purplewave.com. Final numbers from Thursday trade coming up. First, market analysis. For that, we turn to Carl Setzer of Consus Ag Consulting. Slow to move higher, but corn and wheat did go higher. Beans followed and then strengthened, and the bean market became the leader for the sector. And it appears maybe the higher move in beans also coincided with some news coming out of the President's Trump and Xi phone call. Not a lot of news from that other than the characterization that it was a good call.
Yeah, we definitely... More of a risk on type day in the market, and soybeans leading the way higher. The global oil seed market perking up here a little bit. One thing that's helping soybeans today, along with the talk that President Xi and President Trump had that maybe didn't give us any resolution, but the simple fact that both sides are talking did give the market some a positive spin on it. The other thing on soybeans, U.S. values dropped way too far. We got undervalued and underpriced. And when I say underpriced, our soybeans were trading lower than Brazil's this morning by about 30 cents a bushel. When you figure the currency exchange rate plus the futures value, that's given us some room to rally here. Soybeans also taken support from some very good export numbers for the month of April from Census. Soy oil exports coming out at a 16-year high, and meal exports for the month of April were a record. So the demand is there, and the market basically, it cut values a little too far. The rally in crude oil helping soybeans here today as well. We're also seeing some weather-related risk premium leak back into the market, supporting corn, soybeans, and wheat as the day progressed.
Talk more about that weather-related premium and what you see and how it might impact the final crop production here in the U.S.
Yeah, we're looking at these planting delays we've seen across the eastern Corn Belt. That Ohio Valley remains very wet. And the thing is, we are now approaching our spring final planting date on corn. As a matter of fact, today is that final date for Ohio, and roughly 1.2 million acres left to seed there on Sunday night. It is questionable how much we will get planted. Weather forecast today also starting to talk about a ridge setting up over the western Corn Belt. It's been hot and dry out there, and that is not the stress that a new crop needs.
Going into the week, the markets, were they approaching oversold, and do you feel comfortable with where we've gone since that point in time?
We were oversold starting the week out, especially on corn and wheat. Funds have really been selling there and got a short position of over 100,000 contracts in each grain. We've started to see a little bit of that coming back into the market. Soybeans were undervalued, but not necessarily oversold. Technically, it's just enough to get the market moving back to the straight side. We need to get some fresh buying interest in from the managed money crowd, and we just can't find a catalyst to bring them to the market.
Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. The number there is 989-506-1587. Now, Thursday numbers up 0.75 on July corn, 439.5. September, 431.5, up 3.5 cents. Dees, 4.5 better, 448.25. Beans led the way, July 10.51 3/4. off the high, but still a gain of 6 3/4, and that was about a nickel off the high. August, 7 3/4 up, 10.46 1/2. Novi, 10.33 1/4 up, 8 1/4. July wheat, a gain of 2 1/4, 5.45 1/2. Meats mostly higher. June live cattle very strong, $222.90, up $4.50, 87 cents up on June lean hogs, $100.85. Deferreds did go a little lower. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.